So I'll get into the sermon today. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 9. Understanding who we are is so important in this day and age. Who we are. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 9, for we are laborers together with God. You are God's husbandry, God's building. So this goes back to what I talked to 3 weeks ago, speaking of the building project of a Christian. Who we are God's building. There was a foundation that was laid, and we're building upon that. Verse 8 says, he who plants and he who waters are one, and every man will receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. You are God's husbandry, God's building. Verse 10, according to the grace of God which is given to me as a wise master builder. So we're building on the foundation that was laid. He said, I've laid the foundation, another builds on, but let everyone take heed how and what he builds thereon, for no other foundation can one lay which is already laid, which is Jesus Christ. Verse 13, everyone's work will be made manifest, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test everyone's work of what type it is. And we can go back and look at examples of maybe things that we've learned. Even when it comes, I've mentioned the example to me of idolatry. What does idolatry mean? What is the first commandment in our minds? How does that relate to us or our example? I've got a specific one. Because when I was 18, someone in the teen camp asked if I was in the time of muscle cars. I bet everyone here probably remembers or knows what a muscle car was. One of those cars with a pretty big engine, maybe with big tires and, you know, nice wheels or whatever it might be. I said, not only was in that time, I had one of those. And that was God's way of teaching me about idolatry. My muscle car was a lemon twist type of color. And I remember when I finally got that done and I had my nice wheels put on it and my nice chrome mags that were on it, I was coming home from the store. I had gotten the tires and somebody hit me right in the side and kind of mashed my car. And I still remember when I got home, my dad helped me to work on that car, and he looked as I pulled up into the driveway and he was watering something. He just dropped the hose and he walked into the house. He was so frustrated. I was just as frustrated because it wasn't my fault. But I remember getting that fixed back up again, and everything was going well, and I had my muscle car, and I was at work in a guarded lit security parking lot, and it was stolen out of a guarded lit security parking lot. So I eventually got the car back and fixed it back up again, and I was slowly learning about idolatry. So when I finally sold that car and got baptized, God was opening up my mind at that time to see what was more important. I got another nice car. It wasn't totally a muscle car. It had a smaller engine. It was still a very nice car, but I remember telling God that I was going to use that car to serve him, and which I did. From the time I went to college, I was all over the place driving other students to Denver, Colorado, to Northern California, to Tijuana, Mexico, to St. Petersburg, Florida, to Toronto, Ontario, all over the place. And there was one time I pulled up into a gas station and the guy said, do you know that your springs are inverted? They had leaf springs at that time, and instead of going this way, they went that way. There was so much weight in the back seat and then the trunk for all the luggage that my springs were inverted, so I had to get air shocks. But that car was definitely used to serve. I definitely learned my lesson about it was, and it was a great object lesson in my life that related to that. Later on, I remember about 1995, I got a brand new car. I don't know how many of you that ever got a brand new car, but it's kind of neat to get a brand new car. Wow, this is great. But don't forget, I had learned my lesson. So I was going to use this van to serve God. And yet there was kind of an exclamation point that came when my wife and the minister, other minister's wife, went out to a social, and the dessert that they had put in the back had leaked out onto the carpet, and it was all this caramel sauce. Pretty hard to get off of a carpet. Well, there went my brand new car. But it reminded me, once again, use this car to serve. And then right around 2008, I got a really nice Toyota Camry right here in Knoxville. Great gas mileage. It was a certified one, so it had some miles, but it still felt like it was brand new. And while I was visiting my in-laws up in East Bernstadt, I saw this rock coming at me. I said, uh-oh. And sure enough, ding, right on the hood. And so I had a visible reminder every time I got in that car, use this car to serve. It was so interesting how people can take things and make them more important than what really the blessing is that God gives to us. You may have your own stories with that. There are just things that we learn and grow on when we build on the foundation. When we're baptized, when we understand that Jesus Christ is that cornerstone, and we're building on that foundation, there's so many other things that we learn when we grow and think about that. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 2. Then we start to put the building materials into it. Proverbs chapter 2. Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 1. My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding, yes, if you cry out for discernment. Notice the words that are put in here. This is what makes all the difference in someone that just hears and maybe just comes, or one that's really interested in putting their heart and soul and might and understanding and learning about God's ways. Inclining your ear to wisdom, applying, that's all implies work that goes into this. If you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek for her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord. So it's not just a casual approach. It's not a casual approach. And we find when we put more of our heart into these spiritual things, the spiritual blessings will come as well. You'll understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk uprightly. He guards the paths of justice and preserves the way of his saints. There's a blessing that comes along with the application of doing these spiritual things, valuing what we have. So much more importance to this. And as we grow from our youth in the church, whether it's you're older and get baptized when you're older, but from those points on, you find yourself starting to grow. You look back on things that you've grown and you've learned in. And I'm so grateful for that. We can look back at the meanings of things. I remember when we go back to the late 80s or early 90s, wherever you were at the time, there was some big lessons that we learned, weren't there? We learned about God's will in certain matters, because many people thought that God's will was on preserving a corporation. And so we applied different terms to certain nouns, such as the church. And even today, my wife had looked up on the dictionary, I think it was online, and saw that the church referred to a building. We saw a whole sermon, if you saw the Mr. Frank's presentation on what the church is. And some thought this, though, that God will never forsake his church, and that was true. But many looked at it in a different way, that he was going to preserve the physical structure. And now we look back and we realize, as hard as it was, we had some really nice campuses. We had probably three beautiful camps, if you consider, I think it was Loch Lomond, was at Scotland, that we had as well. But two beautiful camps, we talk about that to this day. Wouldn't it be nice if we had a couple camps so we wouldn't have to look all over for the teens. Well, God provides, doesn't he? We don't have two of our own. We had two beautiful camps at the time. We don't have those anymore. Was that really the important thing to God, or was the spiritual blessings? How many things did we learn? When I first went back to the Big Sandy campus, my heart sunk. This was many, many years ago. But when I went on that campus, I saw all the blessings that we received from being there. My heart sunk. I look at it so different now. I can go on that campus now, and I can have a big smile on my face, and I can thank God for what he gave us at that time, because the physical structures are not important to him. The spiritual structure is. And through that, we've learned a lot. So someone had mentioned, well, you left the church. Some of you were probably told that, weren't you? You left the church. And maybe your reply would have meant, and because I heard this before, well, the church left me. Well, both were really wrong. Number one, you didn't leave the church, and the church didn't leave you, because how can the church, which is the ecclesia, the called out ones, how can that leave you? We've been with the church all along. The church is the body of believers who accept God's calling. That's the church. So we've learned something spiritually significant. And then we can see the blessings that God brings down, that he announces to his people, that he announces to the saints. In verse 8, once again, he guards the paths of justice, preserves the way of his saints. Then you will understand righteousness and justice, equity in every good path. And when I watch some of the clips from online from the news, why is it that I get so frustrated? Because I realize that somebody is lying and not telling the truth. Because we understand and know what the truth is. You're not going to mince words on me for me not to understand that. The person's either dodging the questions, they're not answering them, they're straight out, or they're trying to twist the meaning of words. Can't pull that one on me. They'll say, are you calling me a liar? No, I didn't just call you a liar. But what I'll say is what just came out of your mouth was not true. I'll let God judge whether you're a liar or not. But what I just heard was not true. It's simply not true. Our young people are facing this more and more in their lives today. They're going to be the ones that need this, and this is how they can receive it. But their heart's going to have to be in more than just physical things. God blesses us with so many physical things, but the spiritual is so much more important. In verse 10, when wisdom enters your heart and knowledge is pleasant to your soul, discretion will preserve you. Being discreet. These are spiritual applications for God's people. Let's turn to chapter 3, or just over the page here. Chapter 3, verse 1. My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. For length of days and long life and peace, they will add to you. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Now look how he coins this. Look how he words this. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart, and so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. So many look to the favor of man. Who's more important than any man around? It's God himself. We have favor with God. You can go anywhere. One of the teens specifically asked me about their life and what they should do. I was glad that she actually asked, because I know many of our teens are in that spot when you get to be around 18 or 19 and finding out, what do I want to do? There's so many different avenues. So I asked her, what do you want to do? And she named something specific that she thought that she would like. But overall, she said, I really want to get married and settle down. I want to have children, and I want to be a stay-at-home mom. I said, well, that certainly is a worthy thing to do. You can certainly ask for that. She said, well, you know, I'd like to make this much money, and I'd like to go this direction. What would you suggest? Well, I said, if you want to really make a lot of money, you're probably going to have to get a four-year degree. Not always the case, but in many cases, you'll probably have to get a BA in something. This had to do more with helping out a vet or doing something like that. Well, there are specific classes that you may be able to do, or certain certifications that you might want, but if you're still not sure, there is certain testing out there. Myers-Briggs has testing out there that can help our young ones as far as their direction on where their strengths lie, where they might want to go, something that might interest them. But it's so interesting because if you continue to read a part of this verse, the answer is really here as well. Verse 5, it says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he'll direct your path." So interesting there. But there's got to be something that prefaces that in order to find favor with God and for him to direct your steps. It's not a casually doing, which you will find sometimes, because though that casually follow the commandments or casually obey God, just because it might be the thing to do in the church, it's more than just that when it says bind them upon your heart. This has got to be A1 important in someone's life to see the benefits and blessings and what God promises upon all of us. And as adults, we can share those examples with our younger people and how he's fulfilled those even in our lives. Verse 7, it says, "Don't be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones." You know, there have been so many positives that have come out of our youth program and out of our churches where our children attend. And on Friday night, we actually had a question and answer session, but it was a bit different. We asked some of our teens if they would lay out some questions and write some questions down. What they didn't know is that they'd be answering them. So we got them in groups of about 10 to 12 at round tables, and we gave them some of their own questions to be able to answer, study the Bible, and work among themselves. And then they would have a spokesperson that stood up at the table. And if the ministers had anything to add, sometimes we would. There were questions about dating. I'd like to just read some of the questions that they had come up with themselves. What can you say to help someone who is thinking of leaving the church? What is the best way to keep yourself motivated to study consistently? Very interesting questions. How will we know when the time is coming for us to go to the place of safety? What if Adam and Eve didn't pick from the bad tree? How would you answer that? Will extinct animals be brought back in God's kingdom? Why can't women preach? What does God say about forgiveness? Like between us and other people, he is divine and all easy for him to forgive, but how do we? Because it's really difficult sometimes. Very interesting questions that's on the mind of our young people. And they had the chance to answer some of these. We couldn't go through all of them, but I thought it was very interesting. We had some young people that stood up and gave answers that were frankly incredible. To see how they studied their Bible and they went and they answered these questions. What's on the mind of God's people today? After Sabbath services, I was wondering when to play this, but I thought, well, you know, many of our young people don't know our heritage either in the church. So I thought I'd use that time between dinner and after services to play a couple of our old videos. I put up How Good and How Pleasant, Remember Your Creator, and played those. We're able to see, well, they didn't see what I saw on the Sunday morning that we videoed How Good and How Pleasant. Mr. Armstrong had come out and was watching us practice and rehearse, and he was in an old flannel t-shirt, and he hadn't shaven yet, and he looked about 130 years old. And then later on when we had the filming and they filmed him in this clip, see, most of them had not seen this at all. I know we've shown the film, and we've shown some of the heritage to our kids. And I'd like our grandkids to see these too, to see this is where we started this and all the lessons that we've learned that we can share with them as well. How precious it is to be a part of God's true church, because the scripture that says many are called but few are chosen, and look how few there are that are left. It's truly a lesson we can share. Then we show them some of the characters that are still around, and it flashes by someone like Joel Meeker. It'll flash by me. It'll flash by Dave Weston, Remember Your Creator. It'll flash by Tom Clark. And the one who, Tom Clark is her pastor. said, "That's Mr. Clark?" Yeah, we all look a little bit different now, don't we, than we used to. But it certainly is a great memory for us, despite all the things that we've gone through. I look at that as what a blessing, what a treasure that we had, what a heritage that we have and what God gave to us. And we're the ones that are continuing on. But there's more to do, as we know. This is not over yet. So much more to do. But this scripture is so important. In all your ways, acknowledge him. He will direct your paths. Verse 9, it says, honor the Lord with your possessions, with the first fruits of all your increase. This is speaking of tithing here. So your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will overflow with new wine. Do you have some problems sometimes figuring out with all the stuff you've got to deal with? It's in our closets. It's in our attics. Probably some of us may have storage places, and we seldom ever think about that. It's all this, but we call it stuff. Why don't you get rid of it? Because as soon as we get rid of it, we're going to need it somewhere, probably, aren't we? That's how it goes. But we see all the blessings that God has given to us as a result of practicing this for so many years. Verse 11, my son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest his correction. For whom the Lord loves, he corrects, just like the father his son, in whom he delights. Happy is the one who finds wisdom, and the man who gains understanding. For her proceeds are better than the profits of silver, her gain than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things you may desire cannot compare with her. Length of days are in her right hand. In her left hand, riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all those who retain her. So there's a promise that overall your life was going to be one of happiness and joy, peace. That's a promise of God. And yet we find ourselves going through multi-trials on different occasions. It's not always easy in following the path of God, but frankly, it's not easy following the path the other way as well. There's so many more blessings that we can count upon when we call upon God. 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. When we look at the meanings of this and we can explain this to our teens and our young people, what this means to cleave and to desire her, to bind these things, these laws, and see how valuable they are. When that's all we have to look upon today is the ways of this world and the things that are so temporary. The things we've looked back and we see for years now, going all the way back maybe to the 50s. You remember when you saw the movies and all these movie stars, there's probably a movie that you didn't see somebody with a cigarette, did you? So you saw all these people that looked really happy. And maybe for the money they were making, it was temporary. But when you look back and see all the divorces, there was a woman, remember, named Elizabeth Taylor. Remember the beautiful woman that she was? That was short-lived, wasn't it? People get older. Was she really happy? Weren't there five marriages there? Divorces and marriages? With most of the people in Hollywood, it looks glamorous. Seven, someone said. It's not glamorous. They make it look that way, but it's not. So many of those people have passed on and have died. What's left? What's left after we pass on? These things. Wisdom and understanding. And all the profitable things that will be used to teach other people. Not temporary things. Not muscle cars, for sure. But all the things that have value, that produce peace and happiness. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1, so it tells, here's something that we don't build upon that foundation. The wood and the straw and the things that come to nothing. Peter says, wherefore laying aside all malice and all guile and all hypocrisies and envy and all evil speaking, we even learn not to evil speak about someone. And we catch ourselves, I think, a lot more because it seems so easy to evil speak about something. We just saw bumper sticker on the way to London. I can't even say what it said, but referring to our president, blank Biden. And I go, how can you even put a bumper sticker like that? What does that teach people? How do they even allow that? That person should be ticketed for having that kind of vile language on a bumper sticker. But this is where our society has come. Just because we disagree doesn't mean that we evil speak about somebody. And our kids need to learn to catch this just as we do. When we see something that might be evil even, or corrupt, to not evil speak. God knows exactly what's going on. He's got a plan. He's mapped out the future, even for this country. It's interesting, as I look back and saw some of the history of this country, there are certain things that happen in the battles and wars that we fight. How many here know about the Battle of Brooklyn? Has anybody heard about the Battle of Brooklyn? Take a look at that history. Because if that would have failed, there would be no more George Washington. He was doomed. The battle was lost. George Washington was there with the rest of his troops. The escape routes were very slim because the British controlled the seas. The United States did not have a navy. So it was the British who ruled the seas. And yet Washington was able to escape from that little borough of Brooklyn over across, the East River, which is not even a river, actually, it's an estuary. But he was able to escape from the British, and the next morning, a fog sat down upon that river so that the rest of the men were able to escape, and the battle was continued to another time, and we know the outcome of what took place. It wasn't just that. It was so many other things that took place. If one pilot did not finally spot one of the Japanese fleet, then the tide of the battle would have probably been turned. At that time, it was called the Battle of Midway. And four Japanese carriers were knocked out in one day that turned the tide of that whole sea battle in the Pacific. So many things like that turned out that way. We were not supposed to win. It was an impossibility for this country to exist. And so we bring it up to our day and age. So many people I heard back in right around 2010 and 2011 said it was not possible for this organization to continue to exist. We saw God do something different. I'm not criticizing, I'm not mocking, I just saw what happened, and I know that these men out at our headquarters understood that and received the blessings that we've received, so many blessings from God. We made tough decisions to go forward, and God blessed us. So the mapping of the future is being done. God is preparing his people. There's certainly a scattering that's taking place, but a gospel is being preached, and his return is imminent as we watch and don't know all the whens, but we continue to prepare and learn more about these more important things. Verse 2 of 1 Peter chapter 2, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby, if you be so have tasted that the Lord is gracious. I think all of us have tasted that graciousness of God and his forgiveness. To whom coming as a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, because they may accept Jesus Christ, but they reject everything that he said to do, such as the statutes in that of the holy days. Huge difference there, and many other things. Christ said, and himself said, not one jot nor tittle will pass from the law. Verse 5, you also as lively stones. Sometimes it's hard to be lively, isn't it? Very difficult to be lively. And yet God gives us the zip and the zeal as we yield to him and we ask him. He will direct our paths. But it speaks of lively stones, not dead stones, not old, tired, and worn out stones, lively stones. So the importance of fellowship, how important that is, that to stir each other up, to pray for each other, and to see God's answered prayers in our lives. We creak, we groan. All that feels, I smile about it now. It's so different nowadays. It's not going to get any better, probably, as our bodies slow down and we get older. It's there, but we can still have that liveliness. We can still have that spiritual zeal and energy because, brethren, we're going to need it to carry on through all this negativity that's out there. We've got to be positive. motivational and stir up that gift that God's given to us. You as lively stones are built up as a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, our destiny for the future, to teach others, to offer up spiritual sacrifices, which we do in our singing, in our giving, in our sharing with one another. Spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Therefore, it's also contained in the scripture, "Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he who believes on him will not be confounded." That's interesting, isn't it? I'm certain of this. And decisions that we made going all the way back, I'm so certain of it. For some, maybe the mind was clouded for a bit because of the lack of a full understanding of maybe what was taking place. But I tell you, when I saw a book came out called God Is, I wasn't confounded. I wasn't confused. But for some, remember, everything that came out from the church was accepted. You weren't called upon to study whether it was true or not, and ever saw whether that never has changed. Never has. We're still called upon because the source of all truth is in the Bible. Ultimately, it's going to be there. And if any of our booklets and writings square with it, that's a good thing. But we saw things happen. And we hear things today, even in our society, that I'm certain of. I'm not confounded. I'm not confounded one bit that God created man and a woman to be married. That doesn't confound me. I'm not confused by it. I know who the crazy ones are. I know who the confounded ones are. I know who those that are trying to promote this stuff. I know it's called a woke movement. And it's not woke at all. If anybody's, see how Satan tries to twist that? If anybody's woke, we are. I see exactly what's happening. And we leave it to God to take care of that. We can pray about it. I can't change the system. But I certainly can disagree. I can certainly say that's not right. I can certainly say that's abominable. And that's what I believe. And that will never change in my mind because it comes from the Word of God. So let's go to Isaiah 28. Isaiah chapter 28. Let's go to verse 14. This is the word that came from the leaders in Judah at this time, Isaiah. This was the leadership back then. It really is no different. I'm not even surprised anymore when I watch some of the clips of some of our senators interviewing, maybe some of the Department of Justice officials, some of the teachers' unions, whoever it might be. It just doesn't surprise me. It's so sad to see how people can try to lie, how to change it, how to say, well, I was taken out of context. No, you weren't taken out of context. They even call them on that. But many of our leaders today will do the same thing here. Isaiah 28, verse 14. "Wherefore, hear the word of the Lord, you scornful men who rule the people in Jerusalem. Because you have said, we have made a covenant with death and with hell we are at agreement. For when the overflowing scourge passes through, it will not come upon us, because we'll be protected. We've got the money in our offshore accounts. So everybody else, all of you, all your pawns out there, you'll get the scourge that comes, but we're going to be protected." Oh, no, you're not. You think you are, but nobody gets away with anything. Judgment is coming. Judgment day is coming. They said, "For we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood have we hid ourselves." Let me ask you this, brethren. Is this any different this day? It's not, is it? You and I know that's not. We're not foolish. We understand what God says. It's not a question mark in my head to see that this government has become so rich and increased with goods themselves that they try to pad themselves and steal. Where'd this money go? I know it's gone somewhere. Why do we go from gas prices that back in 1974 were 30 cents a gallon to where we are today? I see some of the background of that. I don't need any conspiracy theories. I see the background of what's going on. I can't do anything about it. I tend not even to get frustrated about that anymore. I can't do anything about it, but God can, and he will. It's just a matter of time. So I've got to revert to all my energies going back into building on that foundation, building the spiritual temple so that I will be able to help out, so that I can help our teens or our young people or the brethren and encourage them to look at the same things. This is what's happening. Verse 16, therefore says the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation, and that he that believes will not make haste. Verse 17, though, judgment also I will lay to the line, and righteousness to the plummet, and the hail will sweep away the refuge of lies, and the waters will overflow the hiding place. This will take place. People will not get away with what's going on. I believe we all know that. I really do. It's just frustrating to have to go through it. It really is. We are still blessed, though. I saw the lines of cars that were out today when gas prices are so high. And yet people are still going boating. They're still going on vacation. The country is still blessed. When that's going to stop, we don't know. But we prepare ourselves. We get ready for that time that it's going to get worse. We can see the things happening on the horizon with what's taking place in world affairs because of what's happening with Russia. Europe is starting to prepare itself. Germany's arming itself. All the other Baltic countries are arming themselves. Those countries are getting prepared for warfare. We realize in the Bible, and we've always taught that, that there's going to be a beast power that comes up. Even Japan has rearmed itself because of Chinese threat on Taiwan. They see the necessity to once again do this. The world is changing before our very eyes. It's preparing for war. That's what's happening. It certainly is not preparing for peace. But people can get so caught up in falsehood, they deceive themselves. Remember what Paul told the church at Rome, in First Romans, you don't have to turn there, Romans 1:22, professing themselves to be wise, you probably remember the rest of that. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. They were so into themselves. Job 4, verse 19, how much less are those who dwell in houses of clay, whose foundation is in the dust, who are crushed before the moth. They are destroyed from morning to evening. They perish forever without anyone regarding them. They're here, then they're gone. Look what's happened in our lives. It was there, it's gone. What do we have left? The education, the memories, the fellowship, the lessons that were learned. So many important things that are left from all the wonderful things that we were able to participate in. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, Paul's encouragement to Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 19. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 19. So once again, I take this whenever I see this, I'll go back to the statutes. And I hope all of our young people, wherever they're at, I pray that the parents will teach them and not take it for granted about what we may know, that our kids may not know the statutes. They might not know a lot of these things. How many people are actually reading and studying, and yet all the information is out there? 2 Timothy 2, verse 19, nevertheless, the foundation of God stands sure, having this seal, the Lord knows who are his, and let everyone that proclaims the name of Christ depart from iniquity. That's part of the mapping the future, part of that plan, and getting sin cleaned out of our lives. Verse 20, but in a great house there are not only vessels of gold, of silver, but also of wood and of earth, some to honor and some to dishonor. That's the point. This is our temple. Is everything within our temple pure? No, we've got a job to do on rooting it out, on being purified. That comes back from looking at the scriptures, getting the anger, the unrighteous anger out of our lives, the things we may fall back into, the challenges that are out there, even for our youth, the challenges within the church, new challenges that are on board. You know, it used to be that you could go to a certain drugstore or a certain store and buy pornography. It's free now. Access is open from a very, very young age, and it's causing problems, huge problems that are affecting marriages, that are affecting relationships, that are affecting the mind and the way it thinks on the way God made something to be pure. Satan has introduced something that's perfect for him. Mass production of something that's so evil and free access to it. Some to dishonor. Verse 21, if a man therefore purges himself from these, he'll be a vessel to honor, sanctified and fitting for the master's use and prepared for every good work. That verse right there refers to the future. That's why we're going to the Feast of Tabernacles, to reflect on our future. It says honor. The people of God by that time will have been honored. We will be a part of God's family. We will be vessels prepared for use to teach others and help others in the things that we've been taught as well. And so it refers to some other things that we put out. Youthful lusts. The youthful lusts, as I said, some of the idolatries that are out there. This thing right here is becoming an idol. I can't remember if I mentioned last time, after thinking about this, so much time is spent that people go through and they look at other people's lives and what's going on, and realize it's difficult because we have all these friends and we want to know, let's keep up, let's touch base with them, and you find yourself not having much time left to do anything else because you look at what somebody's doing. And see, we had a lot more time in our day and age when all you had is a telephone. I can never remember someone going on vacation and I would call them up and go, hey, I heard you went on vacation. I like that. See, now we like everybody. Oh, I like that. I like that. Oh, I like that. Oh, you did new cupboards. Oh, I saw you got new cupboards. I like that. Now we just press the button, like. And all of a sudden, time's gone, isn't it? This is a wonderful thing to have, but also this is that tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It's got so much evil in it too. Such a time waster. And everybody's beset with that. I am. I've got to be reminded as well, too, sometimes. This thing has everything on it that I wish I could just go back to that one that was on the wall. And just slowing the pace down, Prescott, 7, 7, 7. You had to wait for the dial to get back, remember? It went, ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch- busy. Someone said, well, you heard about the person, the young child that said, well, what did you do? What'd you do? I called him back. I had to go through the whole process again until there wasn't a busy tone anymore. You didn't have all these things that keep you so busy. Very interesting, the different challenges that we have to deal with in the modern day and age. Some blessings, but some curses as well. So we've got to look at these things and purge these things out of our life. So I even thought of a possible theme topic for the youth, redeeming the time, seizing the moments, something of that nature, something to do. One of the themes I thought this year, even within the church, sometimes there's a flow of a topic. And as I saw us come out of Pentecost this year, there was this overwhelming theme I saw from some of the other ministers on what are we doing with what God's given to us? So in looking at the themes, I'm mapping the future. What about now using the Spirit of God within us? But how do we do that? The fruits of the Spirit? Something that could be used? Just some ideas to shoot out there. It might be ideas you might have some own, but thinking about how, once again, we can help the youth, how we can help the entirety of the church as these themes apply to all of us. So it's purging those, follow righteousness, faith, love, peace, those that call on the Lord out of a pure heart, but foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they gender strife. So don't worry about that one. We can't answer that one. How long were Adam and Eve in the garden before Satan confronted them? Don't have the answer. Is there any need to go on that any more than that? Then I don't have the answer to that. And there are many questions like that. We just say, we simply can't answer that one. And I'm glad that we do. I've seen a lot on Foundation to where a question will be asked, and there simply is no answer to that, because they gender strife. Verse 24, and the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle, apt to teach, and patient. In meekness, instructing those who oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, which has happened to all of us, we all had to repent, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. These are the things that we're supposed to do, that God says we're looking at. These things, these important things, they're of so much more value to the physical. Let's go finally to 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 18. Chapter 6, verse 18. Command those who are rich in this present age, are we not rich in that sense, not to be high-minded, nor to trust in the uncertainty of riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Let them do good, that they may be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share. That I have seen in this congregation. I'm grateful to see the giving nature that's been here as much as possible, as small as we are, to reach out to others. What a blessing that's be. That comes from the Spirit of God. And we need to continue that. Verse 19, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may be lay hold on eternal life. Those are the most important things that we're to follow. So it's a process, but it's understanding what's most important. It's understanding the project that God has given to each and every one of us. Not that we don't have an overall project building among all of God's people. We all have our individual project as well. As it said, the chain is only known by its weakest link. We come together as a church, individually, knowing that we are building on that foundation, and that will continue until Christ returns. Let us build on that, the good things, the precious materials, that we will be counted vessels of honor in the time to come.